hit us on Twitter at 3HL1045. You can hit this guy at Todd Furman. Sets point spreads at Caesars Entertainment in Vegas. What's up, Todd?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot, Brent. Figured that with Quanza Martin taking over as head coach of the Tennessee football team, I might actually have to adjust their futures and win total up from where we have it set with Coach Dooley right now.
Look at that. Just come out of the corner Blaze. Swinging, man. I like
it. Always got to be prepared for you boys.
All right, I'll have another. Is the Belmont favorite? Although I read something since like 1908, I think was the number. 1905. Only two Belmont winners have come from the 11th post position, which is where I'll have another will start. What do you think about this race, and what does 4-5 mean?
History is definitely not on the side of I'll have another, but the same could have been said at the Kentucky Derby. We're running out of the 19 hole. Still able to try and get around the field, but use Bodemeister as much of a rabbit, not only at Churchill Downs, but also Pimlico to win the Preakness. 4-5 basically tells any of the casual bettors out there it's not worth a bet because you're not even going to get even money return on investment. So if you're putting up a dollar, that'll pay you 80 cents on the dollar. So as a result, what it does is it creates value on some of the other horses in the field. You look at a horse like Dullahan or Union Rag, two of the favorites coming into the Kentucky Derby that'll now check in at 6-1 and 8-1 respectively. I think those are the horses you begin to look at rather than trying to bet the prohibitive favorite.
If they ever have a horse named That's What She Said, I'm putting all of my life savings on it.
I'll have to keep my eyes out when I go through the parimutuel pools each day, and I'll make sure I send you a text if I ever see the horse carrying that name show up on any of our racing forms.
How does the dollar spent on a horse race like the one coming up compare to, say, an NBA Finals game? Which one do you get more dollars rolling in on?
The Belmont has really become an afterthought in horse racing. This year, obviously, a little bit different with the potential Triple Crown winner. The Kentucky Derby, far and away, is the leader in the clubhouse. And the Derby will actually draw as much betting handle as we'll see on a primetime NFL game. So it tells you the strength of that particular race. Belmont, we anticipate a little bit of an increased handle just based on the weekend with the Manny Pacquiao fight later that evening as well. But I don't even think it'll come close to rivaling an NBA Finals game. Probably more on par with what we see for an NHL Stanley Cup game.
All right, I floated this idea out there. You've talked about it too. Everybody's talking about how do you get a four-team playoff. True or false, Las Vegas could do a better job telling us which are the four best teams in the country than any group anywhere otherwise.
I may have the NCAA knocking on my door, but I believe what we do out here in the desert is done better than anywhere else in the world, and that includes former coaches, current coaches, athletic administrators, academic administrators. Our job is to be as impartial as we possibly can when we set numbers. Now, the biggest thing is the lines that people will see each week. Those aren't always a reflection of our true power numbers, just because we have to shade numbers to get balanced action. So if we were to get some of the best Las Vegas bookmakers in one room, ask them to pick the four or five best college football teams and decide out of those teams who should enter a playoff, I think you'd get a much truer indication of the best teams. Now, all that being said, we'd have to obviously have the field limited to a certain extent because there are a lot of teams that come out of the SEC specifically that finish 9-3 who would still be favored over an 11-1 or even a 12-0 mid-major.
Tell me about this game tomorrow, this Oklahoma City Spurs game 6. Who you got, who's favored, and also kind of from there spiral into what's going to happen in game 6 of the Heat-Celtics game.
Oklahoma City opens as 4.5-point favorites. They were bet up to 5. A little bit surprised by the Spurs' effort in Game 5. You figured that these veterans would be able to rally, and despite the furious comeback late in the game, couldn't get over the hump. I'm not really sure what to expect out of Oklahoma City tonight. I think they'll thrive on the strength of that home crowd, but you'd have to look at the Spurs in the closeout spot and think that 5 points might be a little too generous. The angle that I would take on this game, I think it's a little lower scoring than what the experts assume. Posted total at 202. I think we'll see a tempo much more conducive to what we saw in Game 3. As these teams may get a little bit tight and focus on the defensive end.
Go.
And the second game, you talked about Game 6 in this Heat-Celtics series. Man, what a way for the Heat to go out and lose on their home court last night. I think you really have to point fingers at their veterans. But the fact that Dwayne Wade runs to put on his fake glasses to try and do a post-game press conference really makes me wonder where this Heat team's focus is. And Boston, you can't write off the heart of a champion. I mean, this is a team right now that knows they're on their last leg. I really believe Boston closes out Miami in 6.
Todd Furman, our guy at Caesars Entertainment in Vegas.
Todd, sticking with that game, the Heat Celtics. I was wondering, I mean, if they lose this game, what are the odds that Wade, LeBron, or the head coach is not there next year?
I think Spoelstra, it becomes a close to a 1-5 favorite that he's out the door if this team doesn't win the championship. Just the way he's tried to mix and match players, whether it's fair or not, I really believe Pat Riley makes him the scapegoat. So I think you'd see a new man behind the bench. Then when you talk about the big three, the question becomes is what you can get for moving a Dwayne Wade or a Chris Bosh. I really believe the best Heat team is with LeBron James and Bosh on the floor. I think Wade is a little bit past his prime and hasn't kind of handed over the torch to LeBron quite the way he needs to. So you look at these teams and you look at proposed futures markets. Miami, assuming these guys come back, they still have to be considered the favorite in the Eastern Conference, especially if Derrick Rose's status is up in the air for the 2012-2013 season.
Now, we were just talking about earlier, Justin Blackmon getting pulled over DUI. I think it's his 2.4. When someone has a 2.4, what are the odds that they really have a problem? I don't think we've ever gone down this road, and he's been arrested before in college for the same issue, that he will get pulled over and that this will happen again.
That would be an interesting prop bet.
offshore might have it.
On some of these guys, and you hate to root for some of this misfortune, but I do think it spells a bigger problem. You know, my criticism, and I know, Blaine, you can speak to this, having been an NFL player yourself, or as I only speak coming from outside the box, is looking at the way Jacksonville has approached it, they probably see this as a better opportunity to pay him less money on his rookie deal rather than worrying about him as an individual, going, hey, this is going to be the franchise player and a wide receiver we need to take us to the next level. It's time to step in and try and get help. But I know, if not sure what goes on around Stillwater, but I'm sure Eddie Sutton would be a great guy to talk to about how to handle a DUI situation.
Quickly, I don't think we've ever asked this, but what are the odds that Hasselbeck or Locker starts come opening day for the Titans?
I think right now, everything that I've read out here in Vegas, you'd probably have to make Matt Hasselbeck about a -125 favorite, so just a slight favorite to start week one. My gut says that Jake Locker may assume the reins if this Titans team can't get over the hump in their first few weeks. The biggest thing that they have staring them in the eye is that daunting schedule, and I really don't know if you want Locker out there taking all the snaps, letting him take his lumps now and build for the future, or if you let Hasselbeck groom him one more year before turning over the keys of the Ferrari and let Locker really become the face of the franchise.
At Todd Furman on Twitter. Todd, back to the NBA. Let's say Boston closes out Miami, Oklahoma City gets it done against San Antonio. How do you see that potential matchup in the NBA Finals?
I think Oklahoma City has to be a heavy favorite based on power numbers alone, but I wouldn't be so quick to write off the Boston Celtics. You know, my power numbers have Oklahoma City probably about a -140 to -150 favorite against the Heat. That may actually go up, assuming Miami comes back, just because they've shown a few kinks in the armor in trying to dispose of the Celtics. I think when you talk about the way they'll match up with Boston, Oklahoma City probably opens at even steeper than 1-2. I'd probably use them in about the 230 to 240 range, meaning you'd have to put up $2.40 on the Thunder to make back $1 against the Celtics in the NBA final.
Kings trying to close out tonight. How do you see that?
Sweet.
Kings a -190 favorite. I think the Devils' history says they find a way to push this back to New Jersey for Game 5 on the strength of Martin Brodeur. Wow. However, I've seen nothing over the last three games that makes me believe New Jersey can try and sustain any momentum. I think L.A. closes out and completes one of the most improbable playoff runs in any of the pro sports that we've ever seen.
8 seed and just dominant throughout.
Oh, they've looked like a 1 seed, you know, and you figure that this is a team that would have run away with a President's Trophy playing the way they have. And you talk about beating a 1, 2, and 3 seeds in the Western Conference and then making the Devils look like a major junior team with the way they took it to them in Game 3. You really have to tip your hat to Jonathan Quick, who opened the postseason as a 28-1 long shot to win the Conn Smythe Trophy for MVP. Coming into tonight's game, you'd have to put up $10 just to make back a buck on him to win that award.
Good stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, brother.
Always a pleasure, guys. Enjoy the game.
Thank you.